Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Gagish, the original revenue marketer, and welcome to WRMR, Power Talk Radio for Revenue Marketing Leaders. You know, I began WRMR in 2008, and after over 100 episodes, my goal remains the same, to facilitate an executive-level discussion on how marketing is changing from being a cost center to a revenue center. And this show, I believe, is unique in that focus. While there is a lot of great educational content in the market for the more operational aspects of marketing, not so much on how to be a leader in this time of extraordinary change. So when I invite guests on the show, we really have two major topic headings that we cover. Number one is how to lead change in a B2B marketing world. And number two, the elements of change, which includes the strategy, people, process, technology, the customer, and of course, results. Now, today's show is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, having been a professional salesperson my entire career. The title of our show today is Marketers, How to Train Your Sales Leader. That divide between sales and marketing is still as wide as it's ever been, and this divide continues to create absolute havoc on the credibility of marketing as they continue to drive revenue results. And for marketers to address this divide, I believe they need to first better understand the pressures and the psyche of the salesperson. Want to know how a salesperson really thinks? Well, today, this is the topic that we'll explore. We'll look at the pressures, the motivations, and behaviors of salespeople. And we'll bring the conversation full circle and explore how this new knowledge will then enable the marketer to make a better impact on revenue results. And who better to have this conversation with us today than Jim Obermeyer, publisher of Funnel Media Group, founder of the Sales Lead Management Association. And before I bring Jim on the show, let me tell you a little bit about him. And as usual, you know, my guests have these incredible pedigree. And Jim, I kind of cut it short, and we're going to let you talk about yourself, but let me tell everyone about you first. As I mentioned, Jim is currently the publisher of Funnel Media Group, which has three business divisions. He has got Funnel Radio, he's got the Sales Lead Management Association, and he also has Sales Leakage Consulting. So Jim has a rich background in leadership roles for both sales and marketing, and an extensive career in consulting with sales organizations to help them improve productivity. Basically, Jim goes into a sales organization, tells them what they're doing wrong, and then helps them right the ship. He's the well-known host of SLMA Radio, the long-running 2007 internet radio program that discusses sales lead management and sales lead generation topics, and also CRM Radio Today. Jim is also a national writer and speaker. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Debbie. It's great to be on your program. I listen to it and learn from it, and it's great to be here.
Well, I've been on your show a few times as well, and so I can't tell you how tickled I am that you're joining us today, especially to talk about this topic of sales and marketing alignment. But to kick us off, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background, including kind of your approach to sales consulting and about SLMA?
Well, I spent half of my career in marketing and the other half in sales management and in sales. So through the years, it's been a balanced career. I started Sales Leakage Consulting 21 years ago. At first, I told people what to do, and after the first 6 years, I started to listen more to find out what people really needed. I take the consulting approach, the consultative approach to sales consulting. By that, I mean I listen to the salespeople, and we get consensus about what they need. I look at what the company can afford and what they're likely to do, what they like to do, and then we make recommendations that will help them. It's too easy to make recommendations to someone, and they won't implement it because they can't afford it or they don't like it or they've tried it in the past. So it's been interesting. I've been a sales, an interim sales and marketing manager for about 20 companies. So I like to think that I've learned quite a bit, as well as a sales manager in my career for another 6 or 7 different companies.
So I think, Jim, that, again, having you on the show to really talk about this topic of the divide between sales and marketing, and you and I were actually talking before the show and in the pre-brief, and I think we're both just kind of gobsmacked that here we sit in 2017 and that divide between sales and marketing seems to be as wide as ever. Why do you think that is?
Well, you and I have talked about this. This divide between sales and marketing, I attribute to the lack of focus on the part of the management of those two teams. When I go into consulting, I generally say the only reason I'll take this consulting job is that if I'm in charge of both sales and marketing, because I can't bring about the necessary change in marketing to drive sales without managing both. So I try to coach both teams to come together as a defense and an offensive team, similar to a football game, that they work together towards the same goal, which is creating revenue. So if you don't have that single manager in charge of those two departments to building those teams, you're going to have this constant us versus them, a VP of sales, VP of marketing, separate budgets, separate directions. One team doesn't understand the next team, and it just it goes downhill from there.
So do you think that the organizational structure is the only factor that has put us in the place where we still have this divide, or are there other things that are affecting that divide?
Well, if you've got a good sales VP of marketing and sales who has the VP of sales reporting to him or her and the head of marketing and product management, then at least you've got the ability to direct both parties to the same goal, which is to increase revenue. The biggest issue in most marketing departments that I see out there is they don't perceive that their role is to create revenue, which is where your own book has been so successful, and many of the marketers are successful today because of your book. But they have to understand their job is to create revenue. So many sales managers think that marketing spends time in its own world, excited about non-essential social media crap that won't give salespeople a qualified lead. You know, they go to trade shows, but the marketing people don't worry about the lead count. They create content, but don't consult the salespeople how to use it or what's needed. They drive a vast quantity, sometimes, of inbound leads without a thought to the quality. And then the salespeople spend so much time filtering and skimming the leads that they don't follow up half of the good ones. Marketing guesses very often what's needed in sales without asking the salespeople or the customer.
So
I think every marketer needs to travel frequently with the salespeople and the sales management team to understand their needs.
I agree. And Jim, let's go back to something that you said originally. And even in your own consulting business, you stopped telling at some point, and then you began to listen to understand what they really needed and what they practically could implement. And it sounds like you're saying that marketers need to take that same approach. They really need to understand and listen to sales and understand what they need so they can better create that relationship. And I think the place to begin for marketers is, you know, what do they need to do? What do they need to understand about sales in order to begin to bridge this divide?
They have to understand that the basic goal of every salesperson is to sell product and increase revenue. But I still talked to some marketing people at the exhibitor show last week, 2 weeks ago, and I talked to marketers, and they were just, I said, well, your primary goal is to create revenue. And they looked at me like I just, you mean I've got to do that? I've got to create revenue? How do I create revenue? The salespeople create revenue. I just create stuff that the salespeople use. And if the marketing people don't have some responsibility for the sales forecast, if they don't think that in order to sell 100 products a month, they've got to create 400 to 500 qualified or raw leads and 200 to 300 qualified leads, then they're off in their own little world. Their whole job is to create demand, and they have the tools today to create demand better, more efficiently, faster, less expensively than ever before in the history of marketing.
That's a great example and a great synopsis of what marketers should be doing. Jim, what is it that they need to understand about salespeople as far as like pressures and motivations that helps them get to that point?
Well, it's interesting. Really, they've got to understand what the pipeline is. A pipeline is mainly managed by selfish people who are talking to customers who lie to them. And if marketing...
Wait, can you... So it's people managing the pipeline are selfish people who are talking to people who are lying to them.
Yeah, that's kind of what it amounts to. I mentioned this in one of the blog entries. A pipeline is managed by fearful, optimistic people who are dealing with selfish people who lie. And that's whether it's the sales manager who's managing it or the salespeople themselves. So if the marketing person understands that they're dealing with these fearful, optimistic people, which is a deadly combination, and they're dealing with selfish people who are the prospects, who are professional buyers, who lie, because if they told the truth and they'd have all these salespeople all over them, then they have to say, well, all right, now I've got to dig out the most qualified prospects, and I've got to do it in such a way, and today with machine learning, it's somewhat easier. I've got to do it in such a way that I'm going to do it more successfully than my competitors. But I always have to go back to, what do I have to create a year? If I've got to sell 4,000 products, I probably have to create 16,000 to 20,000 inquiries. And I have to have about 8,000 of those that are qualified, and I have to know my closing ratios, and then I've got a chance to make our forecast. Of course, I've got to have the CRM system in place. I've got to have the tool. I've got to have marketing automation, preferably with the machine learning element attached to it, so I can create those qualified leads. And I have to help the salespeople constantly filter the non-buyers out from the buyers.
Wow, that's a lot. So it sounds as though if marketers understood what was going on in sales, if they understood that the salesperson was fearful and optimistic, if they understood that the buying customers were selfish and don't always tell the truth, and if they understood just the pure math of creating a pipeline, they might have a better appreciation for what salespeople go through and might be better able to engage with them so that together they can have a path toward revenue. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
Years ago, just being a communications manager, one of my first companies, and I had a whole group of people working for me, I made them go through sales training courses, the first and second level training courses, as well as the sales management course, and I made them go to the field with the salespeople. And that changed the communications. That changed the qualification of leads. That changed the personal relationships between sales and marketing. It wasn't those people who sit in the office all the time who guess what I need but don't really know because nobody shows up. One of the biggest issues today is the sales manager often doesn't go to the field. They don't spend their time with salespeople. They're stuck in the office. They're living up to what corporate is demanding of them, which is go to meetings, manage other departments. But the salespeople desperately need training. The most successful salespeople out there are the ones that constantly go through training. And those that don't make the grade are turned over, sent back to another team someplace, and a new guy comes up to the bat. And you constantly train products, closing skills. And the only way you can know that is to go to the field. Sales manager has to be in the field. Marketing management has to be in the field. And between those two, they'll probably start coming up with a much more accurate pipeline. Let's face it, the pipeline is probably 60% accurate within 60 days and a total crapshoot from 60 to 120 days plus out. So somehow you've got to get these sales managers in the field and away from, when I'd be an interim manager, they'd say, well, you've got to be here for the meeting. I'll say, yeah, well, I'll call in. Well, what are you going to be doing? I'm going to be visiting customers, and not just the ones the salespeople want me to visit. I'm going to be visiting customers that I want to visit. I want to be visiting with prospects. I want to mainly go on prospect calls and current customer calls, and I'm going to be on the road 80% of the time, 20% back in the office, living up to your corporate meetings and what have you. But I can't manage sales, can't have a good pipeline, can't have a good relationship with sales unless I'm in the field knowing what's going on.
So I want to back up, and there's, you said so many great things there. So let me begin with the beginning of those comments. You said that when you were, I think, a VP and in communications, and you had the entire marketing team go through sales training and also sales management training. When you told your marketers that they were going to be going through this, what was their response?
Most of them liked it. They liked the idea of going through that to understand the basic sales training, the product training, and from the, how can they advertise the products and communicate and present the products, create demand generation programs without understanding the products, not just in a briefing from a product manager. And then, so how can they do that? And then how can they actually understand what turns the customers on unless they go to the field and listen to how the salespeople present? And I guarantee you, marketing people go to the field, they'll come back, like company presidents who go to the field and come back, and all they can do is talk about, I went on a sales call with Debbie Guggish, and this is what I found. And, oh, by the way, the customers are asking for, you know, a long cord on that instrument so they can move it across the room. Oh, but they're looking for different controls. You got to listen to the salespeople and how they present and then what the customers really need.
So I think that's fascinating, and I have seen a couple of organizations, not many, who actually do require that their marketers go through sales training, and I agree. I think if you were going to take one practical step toward aligning sales and marketing, I think having marketers go through sales training would be one of those steps. But let me go to the second part of your comments. And you were talking about sales managers and how so often sales managers don't spend enough time in the field. And just the past 3 weeks, I've seen a series of articles about how the sales manager seems to be absent from coaching salespeople. And so I agree with all those comments. But in parallel to that, you also talked about not just the sales manager, but also the marketing managers and how together they both needed to be in the field more. And when you've seen companies where they had both the sales manager and the marketing manager in the field more interacting with customers, imagine that, what kind of result did you see?
Well, we got much better messaging in the marketing department. The marketing department messaging, regardless of whether it was a sign on trade show booths that I actually talked about benefits, or it was direct mail that was going out, or email blasts that were going out, or content that was suddenly put together. Let's face it, content is a big issue today. Some people will say you've got to create new content every day. Well, that's great if the content addresses the needs of the customer, more so than anybody else, and that salespeople are trained in how to use it. So you can see a practical result immediately when these two teams start to work together, and sales management's in the field and marketing management's in the field. But there's other ways to get, you could say, in the field. Research. A lot of companies hesitate to spend money on research. And I don't know why, but they hesitate to do it. They don't always see the results, but marketing management has to survey current customers. Marketing management has to survey prospects. Marketing management has to constantly do research at trade shows. They have to constantly figure out what is the messaging today for the prospects of today. And the research helps. Going to the field helps. Listening in on customer service calls really helps. When we talk about traveling out in the field with salespeople, that includes going on customer service calls and listening, keeping your mouth shut and sitting down and listening.
You know, it's so interesting to me, Jim, one of the areas where I think B2B marketing lags far behind B2C marketing is that hesitancy to do research, to do their own primary research. So I think that is also a fantastic observation. So let's turn to getting some practical advice. So, and we've already talked about a few of those things, but what are some very practical steps that marketing leaders can take to now train the sales leaders in their organizations? We've kind of talked about what marketers need to know. Now let's talk about what the marketing leader needs to impart to the sales leader.
The marketing manager, first of all, needs an office that's close to the sales manager. They've got to be fairly close. They can't be across the world. They can't be across the company. They've got to be fairly close to each other. So they consult on a regular basis, and they sit down on a regular basis. The marketing manager has to, or the CMO has to walk in and be part of the negotiation process for sales forecasting for the coming year, because the sales forecasting is going to drive the marketing budget. It's not the other way around. The money left over doesn't go to marketing. And the higher the tech company is, the higher technology they have, the more likely they're spending large amounts of the company's annual revenue on marketing, and the more likely they're going to be doing this on a quarter-by-quarter basis. Some companies, some medical device firms, might have a yearly plan. Software companies will probably have six-month plans with 12-month, three-month demand generation plans, six-month and one-year strategic plans. So the two of those have to constantly look at each other and say, are we on track? Are salespeople failing because they're not getting enough qualified leads? Let's face it, the number one thing that if you go to salespeople and you ask them what they need, they're going to say, I want more leads. And you give them more leads and they say, oh, no, you misunderstood me. I wanted more qualified leads. So research constantly shows when they ask salespeople, what do you want? I want qualified leads. I want qualified prospects. If I have qualified prospects, I've got probably a 50% chance of closing. If I'm in fast and I've got the right material and we've got a reasonable product at a reasonable price, I'm probably going to close 50%. Everything else, I'm going to close 10 to 20%. So why should I spend time on non-qualified leads? You could do that 10 or 15 years ago. You can't do it today. Competitors spend time on non-qualified prospects. The best companies only spend time on qualified prospects, and the only one that can give them the qualified prospects is marketing.
So that is one of the things that the marketing leader needs to impart to the sales leader. Guess what? You don't have to do this the hard way. You don't have to do this on your own. If we're doing our job right in marketing, we can be a valuable partner to you.
Yes, as long as that sales, that marketing manager understands their basic role is to serve the customer and the sales team equally. I'm not saying one or the other, but equally give the customers what they're asking for and what they will be asking for in the future, and address the needs of the sales management team, as you say in revenue marketing, the sales management team and the salespeople to make quotas. If salespeople aren't making quotas, you have to first look to how many inquiries did they get. And when I was in the medical field, I had to give a lot of salespeople 25 to 30 inquiries a month. We didn't have the ability through machine learning to give them better qualified leads. I did a lot of telemarketing, and I qualified a lot of the inquiries, but I had to give them 20 or 25 a month. If it dropped down to 5 or 10 or 15, I knew that salesperson's, they weren't going to make quota the next 3 months. 3 months of that, and they were in trouble for 6 months. I had to give them a constant flow.
Yep. So, Jim, one of the things that I've noticed is when this sales and marketing relationship is beginning, and let's say, for example, the marketing leader does understand sales. They've done these things either within this company or in a prior company. But sometimes when they approach the VP of sales and say something like, let me be your revenue partner, the VP of sales looks at them like they've just grown a second head. How do you help that VP of marketing build credibility with that VP of sales so they can work together?
Well, you got to walk in and close the door, and the sales manager says, what's that for? Usually you close the door because you want to talk about something confidential, like I've just been laid off or the company's just been sold. So you walk in, close the door, and say, tell me about your forecast in the coming year. Tell me why you think some of these salespeople aren't making quotas. Tell me why you've got a 10 or 20 or 30% turnover in the sales force and you're hurting. Tell me why your sales forecast is so far off. And then let's talk about what I can do to help you. Every dollar spent in marketing in this company has to be spent in support of your efforts. That's what marketing's definition is. And if I can't spend that money to the best, to your best benefit, then I'm failing. Then I'm just off creating this non-essential social media crap. And I'm a huge believer in social media, so don't everybody get all upset about that. But I'm a huge believer in it, and I believe it can be proven to contribute to revenue. But there's so many people spending time on creating content. You know, any good trait taken to an extreme becomes negative. create too many inquiries without qualification, too much content without the direction of where it's going to go. So you really need to have those two together, but the sales management has to sit there and bare their soul, and they've got to tell people, look, my pipeline is crap most of the time because I just don't have enough qualified prospects coming in, and these people can't go out and get it themselves. So my salespeople tell me what I want to hear, and I have to filter that into something that senior management will find acceptable, and I'm doing it all alone in most companies.
I love what you just said. I think it is just practical. Number one, the head of marketing needs to be a business professional and act like a consultant. Get to that closed door conversation and say, but first of all, they have to know what's going on in sales, right? And then get that VP of sales to quote unquote bare their soul and then say, I can help you. And here is the way that I can help you. I think there's not enough communication in the early days between these sales and these marketing leaders. And, you know, Jim Kaner, I had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that he said was that marketing does need to act like a consultant. Marketing, you know, whether it's right or wrong, and maybe it's unfair, but marketing has to take the bull by the horns, and they have to drive the conversation with sales because typically it is not going to be happening the other way. So I think that is really, really great practical advice. So
I read it to a company a couple of weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, an aerospace company. And a sales manager's been there for 30 years. CRM system's not successful. They're going to try it again. And he just can't figure out the sales steps. He refuses to ask the salespeople. He's sitting there thinking about it. It's been going on for 6 months. He doesn't think he needs sales steps. He thinks he's got all these orders in the system from all these aircraft manufacturers, et cetera, et cetera, for technical parts, and he just doesn't think he needs it. He's a buffalo. He should be out of the job. He should be gone. I had Steve Benson from Badger Maps on our program, SLMA Radio, a couple of weeks ago, and he addressed the most serious failure of sales management. And he said the most serious failure of sales management is they do not listen to their salespeople and do not listen to the customers. And I think that's the same thing with marketing. They don't listen to the customers and they don't listen to the salespeople and the sales management team. They talk but don't listen, or they avoid each other. I had a client about 3 years ago, and I said to the sales manager, well, how often do you go to the field? Well, not very often. What's not very often? Well, I haven't been out there in 3 years. Why? Well, the sales company president believes that I should be back here processing orders. So I just don't go to the field. But I have good sales meetings every week. When I met with the salespeople, they said, you mean sales meetings? And I said, no, I didn't say beatings. I said meetings. And they said, no, it's sales meetings.
Yeah.
Because the yo-yo there, who's a nice guy who processes my orders, hasn't been to the field to listen to a customer in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't expect him to be out there. So I can tell him anything because he doesn't know anything. I can tell him anything and he's going to believe me. You got to be out there listening. As Steve Benson said, you've got to listen to the customers and you have to listen to the salespeople.
So what I find so fascinating about this dialogue is that all the marketers who are listening to this radio broadcast and should understand, listen to the language that Jim is using to describe the pressures and the reality that sales people and the sales organization experiences every second of every day. A very, very rich language. And again, this should help you understand the psyche of the sales organization so that you can better understand how to work with them. So we're close to the end of the show, and I could talk to you forever about this, Jim, but let me ask you two questions. What advice, let's say you have an organization and they're saying, you know, we need to create more revenue, and I've heard about this revenue marketing stuff. And I understand that supposedly when sales and marketing works together and is enabled by these technologies, you know, we'll, as a company, can create more revenue. What advice would you give to today's VP of sales taking that journey? And what advice would you give to the VP of marketing taking that journey?
Well, the marketing manager needs to equally go into the sales, the head of, the sales manager needs to go into the marketing manager's office, sit down and say, I need help. And these are the things I need help in. What can you do for me in the field? And the marketing manager has to do the same thing. These two have to be joined at the hip. I had one assignment some years ago. The first thing that the marketing manager and I did when we took the assignment is we took the doors off of our offices and we moved our offices next to each other. We went to lunch together. We drank after work together. We constantly talked business, and it was always about the salespeople and marketing and what are we going to do together. And that successfully turned the company around in 9 months because
wow.
The two of us got together and we didn't have a sales manager who didn't listen to anybody. So it goes back to what Steve said, Steve Benson at Badger Maps. You got to listen. And that doesn't mean listening to senior management to give you all kinds of advice and what they should be doing. So get together as a team and use the revenue that the company creates and puts into the marketing budget to drive revenue and make an accurate forecast, and then most of the problems disappear.
I think that's really, really great advice, Jim. So we're at the end of our time, and again, such a pleasure, Jim, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing these invaluable insights.
Great to be here. Always love talking to you, Debbie.
Well, thank you, and thank you to all our listeners. And remember, you can hear the replays at Revenue Marketer Radio. You can download from iTunes, and you can also get it on our Pedowitz Group Facebook page and also on PedowitzGroup.com. And thanks, and remember to everybody, it is a great day to be a revenue marketer, and we'll see you next time.